This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hello, you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. It's your James on tonight, and we don't and Rory. We don't have Jim or Steph, but the youngins are taking over the show tonight.
Oh, we are.
We are. So we've got a fantastic show lined up for you tonight. All things environmental, positive things for our environment.
And ethical living, I guess,
ethical
too.
Living, indeed. Indeed, Rory. Did you want to give us a little overview of that? And then I think we're going to go to a song to start off with a light mood because it might get a little bit more serious, as it always does when it's nothing sacred.
Yeah, so we have three guests on tonight. We have Eric, who volunteers with Y Gender and Minus 18, talking us through his kind of sustainable living practices and also about binders and how to kind of source ethical binders. We also have Nat Emile, who volunteers with Got On You, and she's all about ranking brands and how we can kind of shop ethically. And last of all, we have Dale, who is pushing a bill forward all about banning plastic and microbeads, plastic bags.
I like the sound of that. Yeah. And I think I've seen some awful things that happen. They all end up in the ocean, among other things. So certainly a very important show we've got tonight. So we look forward and wanting to have everyone SMS or phone in. So you can SMS on 0427 Joy949. Which is 0427 569 949, or you can call in Robert on the front desk on 1300 Joy 949, and he will work out how to transfer you through to us so you can have a chat live on air. Thanks for both coming on, boys.
Hey, how's it going?
very well. Now we're very lucky to have Dale on the show, who we're going to be chatting to now, which is all about getting rid of that blasted plastic bags and more. More than just plastic bags, more of the really important things like that are called microbeads. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Dale? Microbeads, yeah.
Okay, so for those that don't know what they are, we'll run through that in a sec. But yeah, can you describe what microbeads are? Because they apparently cause a lot of problems, even though they're tiny.
Yeah, so whenever you chuck something out, your litter goes down into, you know, the riverways, ends out in the ocean. A lot of the time, the plastics, or it's plastic bags, bottles, whatever it is, usually ends up breaking down into smaller pieces over the years. Small enough into microplastics, but microbeads in itself is essentially little tiny bits of plastic that you use to exfoliate your skin, and they're in sort of soaps and sort of hygienic sort of products.
So like the scrub washers, like would that some of them have like a microbead in there? You kind of feel they've got some kind of natural salts or something scratching your skin?
Yeah. Most of the time you think that they're natural salts, but they're actually little tiny bits of plastic. It's a lot easier to keep the shelf life of the products if you chuck little bits of polymer in there. So
okay, and can you use other things?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you've already hit the nail on the head. I mean, a lot of the companies in places where microbeads are being banned are just replacing their products. They're replacing it with salts, or even like little bits of husks and all sorts of organic things that do tend to last quite a while, because they essentially, you know, because they're in a micro format, they have the same sort of effect.
But at the same time, they're going to be able to biodegrade as opposed to the plastics, which I presume
don't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So plastic, can have a half-life of up to 1,000 years. Every little bit of plastic that's ended up in the ocean, unless somebody grabs it, it's probably still there.
How many years?
Up to 1,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in a blink of an eye, it's we're not going to make that length of time.
Yeah.
It's scary to think about, actually, isn't it, when you don't realise quite how long something's going to last beyond your lifetime?
Well, that's it. I mean, I was a bit shocked to know about microbeads myself because I'd actually used them in the past, and I'm going to be the guilty one and admit that. And I guess, like, why microbeads and, like, plastic bags? And, like, I think the other thing was some packaging for fruit and vegetables. So why is that included in their bill and maybe not some other forms?
Yeah, yeah. So what's happened is the Greens have announced intention to introduce a bill, and that is to ban plastic bags, microbeads, and the unnecessary plastic packaging that goes on in the supermarkets. I know one of the ones that a lot of people, when I talk to them, they get so frustrated by plastic wrapping over organic products. And they use it to differentiate the organic products from the, you know, the other ones. And, you know, these things are sort of almost common sense things. That, you know, these bans have been happening everywhere around the world, and in a couple of states in Australia. So for plastic bags, you know, plastic bags were banned at the checkout in South Australia back in 2009, ACT, Northern Territory, 2011, and Tasmania, 2013. So it's not like this isn't happening elsewhere in Australia. It's happening, and we need it to happen in Victoria.
But no, Dale, like, what do people do without a plastic bag if they get there? What? How have these South Australians been able to get home with their food?
Well, it is an initial hit to your convenience. You know, a lot of people, for the first couple of weeks, the ones who aren't even paying attention, kind of get a little bit fed up, you know, rock up to the supermarket saying, what's going on? But, you know, after the initial, you know, month or two, people get used to it, and they just bring their own bags. It's pretty simple. If you don't want to be buying thick reusable bags each time you go to the supermarket, you just bring your own. And it's worked for half of Australia, so it's tested and it can work here.
Well, I must say, I have to shout out to my mum. She's very good at this. She's got all of, in her boot, she has all of the, what are they called, like the freezer, those blue kind
the
of...
blue bags.
Yeah, the blue bags, you know, that kind of can also, and they also hold the cold. So if you've got milk, it's not going to, you get home, it's not going to curdle, whatever it is.
Yeah, definitely.
So you have double usage there. You mentioned before a little bit about a bill. So is this state parliament, is it?
Yeah, or
is
so this
it
a is federal? State parliament, yeah. So the legislation to ban, say, plastic bags. So I know a lot about plastic bags because I'm coordinating the group Plastic Bag Free Victoria. So it's an initiative that we've been running for about a year now, and we're using that to essentially try and get nonpartisan support across all political spectrums. It just so happens that the Greens have decided to introduce a bill first. So, of course, we're really supportive of this. But, yeah, essentially it's aiming for just getting plastic bags banned at the checkout.
So if laws have been passed in South Australia in which territory was it? Sorry.
At both territories
and Tasmania.
And Tasmania, yeah.
What did you think has happened there? And are all those laws as perfect as you would like? Or would there be maybe some alterations to those laws that you'd like?
Yeah, definitely. So, these laws are essentially targeting, you know, those grey plastic bags that you see at Woolies and Coles. They also sort of impact some of the takeaway shops. So if you get some takeaway Chinese or something, you get your stuff in a plastic bag. So they're the type of plastic bags. Essentially what's happened in those states is you'll see what we're sort of terming the Aldi model has come in, where you can still purchase the thicker plastic bags, but you have to pay for them. And, you know, in Victoria each year, we see close to 1 billion plastic bags handed out for free every year. And so we're, with the levies or with bans that have come in place, a ban hits about 90 to 95% of the total bags, whereas a levy hits about 80%. So so if we could reduce 90% in Victoria, that's 900 million plastic bags that stop going out each year.
And so I noticed like a few of the major supermarkets have introduced like biodegradable bags. So would that be a ban on them as well?
Yes. So with the biodegradable bags, it can be a little bit confusing sometimes. They actually only decompose under commercial composting conditions. So it has to be above 50 degrees and it has to be in a commercial composting setting. So that's the Australian standard.
Wow.
So if you just littered the plastic bag, it would stay as a plastic bag or it would break down quicker into microplastics like we were talking about earlier. So the actual biodegradable bags are probably worse because they break down quicker. And unless they're in those conditions, and I know that the world is heating up, but 50 degrees is still quite a while away, hopefully.
And they're still made of plastic.
Still made of plastics, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So that's a real shame because, you know, I suppose that I wouldn't be the first to admit that that I've probably assumed that those white, the white ones that have the green paintings on them, that they would be somehow better. So what is, are there any settings where they are composted properly? Like, is that what's done by council?
Yeah, or? so if you ask the plastics industry, they'll tell you that plastic bags are returned back to the supermarkets and they're either recycled or they're, you know, composted properly. Our numbers are that about 3% of all plastic bags get recycled. So you can actually take your plastic bags back to the supermarkets and recycle them from the supermarket. It's just nobody actually knows about it, and the supermarket doesn't really tell anyone because it does tend to cost them a lot of money to get them recycled. But yeah, really, it's just about transitioning away from this single use of plastic bags and trying to get people to be conscious of, you know, using their existing bags again and again.
Wow.
Absolutely. Well, look, there's certainly more to discuss still, but we are just going to go to a few messages. So stick around. If you do have anything you'd like to, mention or a comment that you'd like to us to talk about, or a question for Dale about, getting rid of plastic bags in Victoria, like they have in some other states, then you can SMS us on 0427 JOY949, which is 0427 569 94. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB TIQ Community Radio Station Joy 94.9.
Hello, listeners. This is Meow Meow, and you're tuned in to Joy 94.9 and listening via the Joy app. Oh my God, that's very modern.
And you're on Is Nothing Sacred, and we're joined in the studio by James, me, Rory, and we have two guests in the studio, Eric and Dale. So I'll introduce our second guest, because Dale has been amazing and has been talking us through the Greens bill to ban plastic bags, microbeads, and prohibit supermarkets from selling fresh food and vegetables in unnecessary plastic, foam, and plastic and foam packaging. And Eric is a volunteer from Y-Gender M-18, and he's also really passionate about sustainable living. So I guess, guys, my first question to you, Eric, what does sustainable living mean to you?
Well, it's such a, I don't know, it's a really broad thing, but I think to me it's about trying to ensure that the way I live my life have minimal impact on others, that is including the environment.
Mm. And Dale, what does sustainable living mean to you?
Well, I mean, it's about living, you know, within my means and making sure that there's enough of the resources that we're all using as a society. There's enough that I can get benefit, but also for the next generation.
And I guess, what are some of the practices you use in your daily life? It can be either one of you.
Well, I mean, for me, I know, obviously, I sort of try and use the five R's as much as possible.
Ooh,
which is, which, now you're going to test me. I shouldn't have said this on the spot. Reduce, reuse, repurpose, recycle. And the first one is actually refuse.
That's so great.
Yeah. So if you try and live by those principles.
Okay. Well, I just want to break that down for a second. So refuse. So try, first off, just find an alternative altogether.
Yep. Yep.
And then what was the other one?
Reduce.
Reduce. Okay. So just again, try and eliminate the need for it in the first place.
Yep.
Be efficient.
Yep.
What was the third?
So refuse, reduce, Reuse,
yep, okay, that makes sense to me.
Repurpose. So make it into something different.
Yep, okay.
And then recycle.
I like how recycle's actually the last one in there, because recycle is that buzzword that everyone thinks is really, like, the first go-to, you know. Oh, it's recyclable, so then that's fantastic. But it's one of those, it's actually one of the last resorts, so, yeah. It's a good way to think about it. Now, we have got some messages in. First of all, we've got received a Joy membership that has just gone in from Robert from Seddon. So, thank you, Robert. It's people like you that keep us on air. So, we can't thank you enough. Also, we got a message in for Dale. A slightly funny one there with a winky face at the end. It says, Dale, question mark. What am I supposed to use to pick up my dog poo? Well, Dale, you might have an answer.
No. I actually you know, because I've been running the campaign now for over a year, it's such a common question. People always say to me, they're like, you can't take them away because I'm not picking that up with my hands. And it always ends up being, you know, you get a lot of plastic bags and a lot of plastic products in your daily life anyway. So things like bread bags, things like pasta bags, you can use newspaper and a pooper scooper. If you want. I mean, there is...
That's what my dad does.
It is about trying to find different ways. What we have seen is, you know, some of the places, like some of the councils and things like that in across the border, what they've done is they've given out sort of beeswax wraps and all sorts of things, bags that are truly biodegradable and not the polymer biodegradable ones, made out of cornstarch and things like that. You can use them as well to pick up your doggy business.
Jeez, I'm glad that there actually is something that's truly biodegradable then. So they're those ones that actually don't quite look as... They're certainly not white. They're those ones that are almost like a... what sort of colour would they be? Like a light brown colour?
Yeah, is that kind of... And typically with those ones, they don't really sell them in supermarkets because they are biodegradable. The shelf life of them isn't terribly long, so they kind of don't tend to stock them. They just tend to stock what's termed 100% degradable. And so they're the ones that you've really got to watch out for.
So I suppose from what we're carrying on from the five R's, it is about just... You know, just having a little bit more care and, you know, perhaps foresight and for, you know, thinking about something ahead. It's the same with, you know, at the supermarket. If you really have, you know, just been a tiny bit more organised to have a reusable bags in the boot, you know, because you're most likely going to need, you know, might need the car or the bicycle to pick up your, you know, heavy groceries anyway. So just have them in the place that you're already going to, you're not going to have to forget them. Something like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and, you know, in doing the petition that we've been running for close to 8 months now, and you can download a copy of it on our website, the Victorian government actually doesn't allow online petitions, so we have to do a physical petition.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot of work. But what a lot of people do is they tend to leave their bags in the boot of their car, and then they go in, and then they say, oh, I can't really be bothered going back to the car. And so a lot of people have the right intention, but it's about bringing your bags into the store. And we think that, you know, having a ban is going to provide people that incentive to go back to the car and grab those reusable bags.
There's the... Okay, there's the point. Yeah. Because there is those times where, as I said, it's about thinking... You know, just having a little bit more thought, and you're right, having that prompter that,
that incentive.
If I've forgotten, I might have to spend 50 cents or a dollar on a thicker bag, will maybe be enough to remind people they've got the proper blue freezer bag in the boot.
Yeah, I know I've definitely been, I used to always shop at the market, like Queen Victoria Market, and since I've moved south and there's a Woolworths about 200 metres away from my apartment, I've now like almost completely stopped market shopping, which is so bad because I used to bring my baskets and I used to feel super good about it, but of course...
Convenience rules.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly love the markets, though. Do you ever get back there?
Yes, I visit Perron Market quite frequently, but I have, it's not my regular shop anymore. Unfortunately,
I think one of those things is it is about convenience. So whatever law, and this is probably what's so important for you, Dale, is that it is about making sure that it really tries to create behaviour change, because ultimately we haven't seen enough happening just under the current situation. So it is about doing that. Now, are there whenever we talk about laws on Is Nothing Sacred, we really like to delve into a little deeper about what are some of the challenges and maybe the opposition to those laws. Do you find that there is much opposition from, say, the companies themselves?
It has been a really interesting process. To start with, I started out, you know, as myself running a group called Plastic Bag Free Moreland, joined up with a couple of guys down on the surf coast, Plastic Bag Free Torquay, and we just thought we'd go straight to Coles and Woolies and just say, hey guys, this is causing an environmental problem, you should stop. They sort of smiled, nodded, and then sort of told us to politely leave. And it's been pretty much that way since with the bigger retailers. When you go into the smaller businesses, it's a completely different dynamic. You have going into the stores, you say, listen, you know, these are the problems. This is the reason we have so many of these things. We're going to have more plastic in the ocean than fish by 2050. We need to do something about it. And a lot of the smaller retailers are quite happy because they say, oh, well, we can actually sell reusable bags, make some money from that, and then we don't have to provide customers with plastic bags for free, which is the norm. So a lot of the smaller businesses are actually on board with this. We just do get a lot of opposition from a couple of retailers in particular.
And do you think there's any... I mean, it's obviously not important. You're just dealing with the facts as you see them and going around them, I suppose, now. But do you have any, you know, idea of why that might be?
Well obviously, I mean, I chatted to a fellow who worked in logistics for a company, I won't name them, who told me off the record that they had over 2 or 3 billion plastic bags sitting in storage that would last them to 2020. So, I mean, they've already made the financial... they've incurred the financial cost of these things. I don't know how easy it is for them to send them straight back to the manufacturer, but hopefully, if this bill gets up, they'll have to... they will have to send them back to the manufacturer.
That's a scary thought, though, that a lot of these bags are, at least at the moment, sitting in storage, probably all collapsed in on themselves, kept in one place. What are the kinds of things? I mean, you know, I think we've all, you know, potentially seen that image of like what happens to, you know, when they had the can plastics that bring the cans together like in a loop, and when they go out, they can get stuck around the neck of things. Yeah. Mm. But you know, you've talked about microbeads. What actually happens? What are some of the worst things that can happen, and what kind of species get affected that you know of?
Well, I mean, it impacts everything. You have a plastic bag, depending on where it ends up, you know, ends up in the parks, ends up in our waterways, and then eventually ends up out in our oceans. What we're seeing now is as things like, you know, seabirds, especially Atlantic seabirds and things like that, are filled to the brim with plastics. You have marine life, which, you know, you see all the whales that beached up in Germany a couple of weeks ago. They actually opened them up and they found, you know, tons of plastic inside them.
Well, Finding Nemo 3 is looking a little bit depressing then.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And a thing as well that a lot of people don't realise is with the plastics, once they become microplastics, they actually enter the food chain quite quickly. And you have heavy metals that can actually accumulate on these microplastics. And what happens is they enter the fish, and then they either get stuck in the fish or they pass through the fish, but all the heavy metals actually remain in the fish. So the bioaccumulation of heavy metals from plastic pollution is actually an issue as well. Mm. And, you know, we end up eating a lot of that. So
ends up in us. Yep. Awful. We are just going to choose some messages and a quick song. But we've already had a couple of messages in. So please message in an 0427JOY949, which is 0427569949. If you did want to contribute or ask a question, we will be right back after these messages and a song.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
And you're on Is Nothing Sacred, and we're in the studio tonight with James.
Hey.
Yeah. Me, Rory, and we also have our two guests, Eric and Dale. So Eric was just talking to us in the break about this amazing website, because we've been talking a lot about sustainability and particularly about plastic in our lives. So you were talking about this website that people can use and basically reduce their plastic intake.
Yeah, so this is a blog by a person from America, and they've been like, over the years, they've been trying to minimize their use of plastic bags as well as other plastic stuff that a lot of us would use in our everyday life. So yeah, they slowly compile a lot of like articles about sharing with other people about how they have managed to avoid using these plastic things in these situations. And so, yeah, they provide a lot of, like, really, really great tips. Like, for example, instead of, like, buying dips, we can make them.
Yeah, that sounds like an obvious one.
Yeah, and they are, and those homemade ones are generally much better tasted for.
Mm. And what's the name of this blog again?
It's called myplasticfreelife.com.
I like the idea of that. But also, some of the things that we were chatting about in the break as well, that you sort of think, oh, what else do you do? When I said bin liners, and then you just think, well, why do you even need them? Just put it in a bin or a bucket and then empty it. Is that, I don't know, Dale, if you concur?
Exactly. I mean, we've been talking to a lot of people and they sort of say, oh, you know, well, what am I going to put my stuff in? And then we sort of turn around and go, well, do you need to put your stuff in a bin? Mm-hmm. And usually it comes back to that convenience. Again, people don't want to have to wash out their bin, so they use bin liners. And so it comes down to, you know, weighing up your decision. Obviously, we're targeting plastic bags at the checkout because they can be littered quite easily, whereas I haven't seen too many bin liners floating around the streets. So that's not what we're targeting at the moment.
So in other words, like, the law even, you know, wouldn't stop somebody if they really didn't like the idea of washing out their bin. It wouldn't stop that anyway. It's trying to stop the stuff that often will end up, you know, in a river or a stream and then end up in the ocean.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. We're targeting litter. That is the target with this one. We're not trying to ban all plastic products, although some people that I know would enjoy that quite a bit.
I suppose that's why things like this blog, though, would be more helpful for someone that is looking longer term to get plastic out of their life is, you know, really kind of have some other inspiration of someone that's actually changing, maybe slightly changing their lifestyle, probably be a more healthy one in more ways than one, to try and eliminate the need for them in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. And it's taking those simple, small steps that, you know, to eventually, hopefully, everyone can live a plastic-free life.
Mm. Now, on Is Nothing Sacred, we always like to have an action or an outcome that people can do. So, you know, if there are people in Victoria or, of course, anywhere in Australia listening to the podcast or this show tonight, where can they go? What can they do? What's something that can make an impact if they want a politician or someone like that to actually, you know, realise that this is a really important issue to most Australians?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we have a website. It's www.plasticbagfreevictoria.org. We have a Facebook page, Plastic Bag Free Victoria. Go on our website, have a look at the FAQs. If you have any questions, send them to us because we want to answer every question. We don't just want to have some things unanswered. We want to tick everything off. We've got a petition that if you could print it off and sign it, get your friends to sign it, send it back to us. We're aiming for 10,000 signatures. We're sitting on 6,000 signatures at the moment. So we still need a couple more signatures. And also, one thing that's really important is to get in contact with your local councillors and your local MPs, especially in Victoria, because we have sent an email to every single councillor and every single state member in Victoria. So they're aware of our campaign and we have sent them, you know, what we want to see. So the more people that get in contact, the more of an impact that we'll have.
And I know that that is a particularly strong one because people might be surprised at how few people or issues get, you know, get a direct mail or an email to their MPs. So that's one that is particularly powerful. Dale, is there, you know, for this particular bill as well in Victoria, so the petition is the main thing for there. Are there, you know, is it in the lower house or the upper house?
Yeah,
or?
So what we're doing is, Plastic Bag Free Victoria, we're non-partisan. We're just really happy that the Greens have put forward this bill at the moment, but we're trying to chat with the other two major parties to try and get something through. Our petition is going to the upper house and the bill is also going to the upper house. And so what we're looking for is a majority support for the bill in the upper house to then go down into the lower house to enact it into law.
Okay, absolutely. And I know that I think one of the things we've certainly learned from today, I know Eric was mentioning this, is that idea that even those so-called biodegradable bags that I think are things like at certain supermarket chains, I won't mention the names, which I think are white with the green on them, they're actually not great because generally they won't biodegrade unless they're under particular circumstances, that which most of them won't go through, and they actually then break down into those micro beads of plastic even quicker. So, you know, this is why probably this legislation is needed, you know, more than ever, so that we do remember that when we go there, we're either going to have to buy one of those ones that are going to last a lot longer, or if you're a bit more, if you're hopefully more organised, you can bring your own, and then you would avoid all that problem to begin with.
Does that mean that those biodegradable cups and stuff are also not really biodegradable?
Well, I would question anything that says biodegradable. Most are set to an Australian standard. It's just that the Australian standard for biodegradable things is only certain conditions. So
read the fine print.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And reusable cups.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Dale, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, and I certainly hope all our guests, you know, follow up with an email or a letter to their local MP. And that website one more time?
Yeah, so it's www.plasticbagfreevictoria.org. And you can find us on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Thanks a lot for that. We are going to some final messages tonight, and we will be back. Rory, who is on next?
Nat Emile. So she's a volunteer for Good On You, which is all about ranking brands based on their ethics and sustainability practices.
Sounds extremely important as well. Well, hang on there, and we'll be back after these messages and a song. Cheers.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member of joy.org.au.
Hi there, you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. And we've had a show tonight, and we're still obviously going, which has been all about how we can help our environment. So we've started off with a really important discussion about how we can reduce plastic in our lives, particularly those, you know, the heaps of plastic bags we have from supermarkets and things like that. And also microbeads, the things you might find in those body scrubs. So flip over the back of those body scrubs and make sure that there aren't microbeads in there, because there are other things they can use. They can use husks of, and, you know, coffee. And I know I have a nice coffee scrub that doesn't have any in there. And it smells great too. Always looking for alternates there, Rory. And, you know, just make sure that you just take a moment longer to think about other ways you could avoid using them when they're really not that necessary. We always think, Rory, that every, you know, even something like a bin line is so necessary. But ultimately, if you just have a slightly smaller one, you can carry it out and empty it into the bin.
Well, that's totally it. And you can use a poop scoop instead of a plastic bag to pick up your dog poop.
As all the paper like my dad does. Love it. So, Rory, I'd love to introduce our next guest.
So our third guest is named Nat, and she's a student at the University of Melbourne, and she's extremely passionate about ethical consumerism and labour rights. So she volunteers at an amazing social enterprise, which is also in the form of an app called Good On You, and she's volunteers as a verifier or fact checker. So this app, I think, ranks the ethics of fashion brands.
Well, we like fact checker, so welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about, I guess, you know, how this all came about. You know, what sort of got you interested to begin with?
Well, I suppose I've always been quite passionate about all of this, but it was back in 2013, and I'm not sure if you've heard of it before, but there was a building collapse in Bangladesh. It's sort of known as the Rana Plaza factory collapse, where a garment factory collapsed and over 1,000 workers died. So since then, I've been really passionate about advocating for the people who make our clothes and make the stuff that we buy every day. And then over the most recent summer, honestly, I was just sort of a bit meaningless in my life. I was looking for some volunteering work, and I stumbled across Good On You, and I thought that the work they're doing is really great. So, yeah, I've been working with them ever since, and yeah, I'm really glad that I did, because they're doing really meaningful work and they're making ethics a really accessible thing. So, yeah.
My goodness, 1,000 people. I must say, I hadn't actually heard about that, which just shows how, you know, sometimes we do miss even, you know, the most huge and tragic things. Look, I suppose that shows as well that when you have a little bit, when you do actually have some time to really think about these things, some really good things can come out of it.
And I guess, like, so what did the importance of Good On You, like, what do you find that Good On You kind of brings to this kind of area?
Well, I think a huge challenge for a lot of shoppers is that it can be really confusing to know what's ethical and what's unethical. And I know that speaking as someone who does care about this stuff, going to the shops, there's a lot of conflicting messages. So you might hear from one source, oh, this brand's doing really good things, and then you hear from another source, oh, they're doing terrible things. But Good On You is basically just a free app that puts all that information into one place so that you can look at all the information and make a decision for yourself. So it makes it really easy, which I think is so important because I know from my experience, when it gets too hard to work out what's ethical, sometimes you end up just tuning out altogether and just buying stuff you want rather than actually listening to that moral compass.
Exactly. And so how are the brands kind of ranked?
Well, basically, they're broken down into three categories in terms of people, the planet, and animals. So it's sort of quite a process to do those ratings. So there's basically three stages to rank those. There's a lot of people who sort of search for that information, and they're called the ethical detectives. So they sort of find all the base information. Yeah, it's an awesome name. And then there's the people called the verifiers, which is what I do. And they check over the information that the detectives do and make sure it's accurate and then give a score out of 20 to each of the brands in terms of people, the planet, and animals, and then write that up as a summary. And then a third person checks that, and then finally that goes on the app. So it's really about sort of making that information quite clear and simple and also very reliable.
Yeah, so I was going to ask, how readily available is this information? Is it hard to find?
Yeah, well, it sort of depends on the brand. There's some brands where you'll look and look for, you know, a couple of hours, and after a while you have to give up and give them a score of no information. But then there's other brands that are doing amazing things and they have different ethical accreditations, so they might be fair trade or they might have organic cotton. So, yeah, some are really, really easy, but a lot of the bigger name brands are a lot more complicated to find the information, unfortunately. Mm.
We had Dale on early, who was, I suppose, gave us a bit of a myth buster on this idea of biodegradable bags. Are there any kind of, you know, things that people might be surprised about that are, you know, something that they would use in every day that, you know, that you could just sort of tell them that they might be shocked to know is not helpful and maybe an alternate?
Well, I think there's a lot of really crazy things actually going on with clothes. Like, I can't tell you the brands, but you might look at things that are different fabrics like viscose and things like that, which are really harmful to the environment. And even cotton can be really harmful to the environment to make. But I know, for example, there's one brand, they actually make their clothes out of pineapple fibres, which is crazy. Wow. So there's a lot of alternatives. I can't remember what the brand's called, but, yeah, there's so many new alternatives, or even just organic cotton. So there's a lot of ways that you can look at those fabrics and think, oh, yeah, there are environmentally friendly alternatives. And what I find quite interesting as well is that people are very interested in organic food, which is so important, but people don't think about the fact that your skin is actually really able to absorb all the chemicals. So it actually can be quite dangerous, and I think there's not enough research on what is in our clothes. So I think it's actually potentially good for our health as well to be looking at things like organic cotton, and I think probably there will be evidence that will arise in the future.
Absolutely.
Some of those implications.
Well, also, when someone sort of says, oh, that smells new, I mean, you've got to start to think, you know, well, if it smells a little bit fake, I mean, maybe that's actually, that aroma is actually probably not very good for me to be inhaling all the time.
Yes, so true.
Goodness me. So with the app, I mean, do you find that obviously it's convenient for a lot of people because, you know, it's very accessible at those types of things. Like, have you had any feedback from people actually using it where they've just said, oh, you know, they've had a good news story about it being really helpful for them when they're making a decision?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the people who use it, I've sort of seen people download it for the first time and start using it. And generally there's two reactions that I see, because people, as soon as they download the app, they'll immediately search for their favourite brand. So you'll either hear a lot of joy from them when they hear that their brand is doing good things, or you'll hear a huge amount of disappointment, which I think says a lot, because people have a lot of loyalty to the brands that they love. But also people do, I honestly believe that people do want their brands to be doing right by people and right by the planet and right by animals. So I think that it's really empowering as much as it is depressing when people find out that the brands they love are doing bad things, because it's a chance for them to say to those brands, hey, I love your clothes, can you do better?
Exactly. And so have you found much of a change with people's perceptions on their brands? Like, have you seen people actually look at what's on the app and change how they shop?
I think it sort of depends on both the person and the moment, because I know personally, like, I'm so passionate about this, but I have had times when I've bought, you know, a pair of jeans and I've looked back and gone, oh, that actually could have been made by child labour. And then the next time I buy jeans, say, from Nobody Denim or something, who's Ethical Clothing Australia accredited. So I think it's kind of the app, I think it's less of a sort of, you know, secondary revolutionary change, but it's more of a slow over time change where you kind of gradually become better at making those choices, and you can still make mistakes, but those mistakes start to become fewer and fewer.
And that's amazing. So thank you so much for talking to us. And for everyone listening, go on and download the Good On You app, because that might actually change your perception on your favourite brand.
Thank you so much for having me.
Cheers. Well, we've had a really fantastic show tonight, and I think that, Rory, you know, I've learned a lot about range of things, and I'm definitely, I think, I've got to download that app for myself right now, and we're going to email an MP with regards to the legislation that's coming up.
And I'm going to stop using bin liners.
Exactly. So it's been a really helpful show. Thanks all for listening, and I also wanted to give a shout out to Kate from Kensington, who has also got another Joy membership tonight. So we've had a few on the show tonight. Yeah. So thanks for keeping us on air, guys. You have been listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. Thank you, Rory.
Oh, thank you, James.
And thanks to all our guests on tonight. We are going out with a few messages. And then the next show is coming on Bite Me Down Under. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.